So the title is, write this down, Confront the Enemy. Confront the Enemy. So the Word of God is what we confront the enemy with. It's our sword. And this Word, this Bible, is full of God's promises to us. Now, according to Dr. Everett Storms from the USA, the Bible has almost 7,500 promises in it, 7,487 to be precise. These promises are from God to us. And we have to be in the Word and reading the Bible to hear the promises that God is saying. The Bible is God's Word, and it is still the language that He speaks today. It is one of the main ways the Lord still speaks to His disciples. Any disciples of Jesus here today? Woo! Yes? So this is what happens, okay? You're reading your Bible, you've got your morning coffee, you've got your cornflakes, you've got your Bible, you're reading it, and then it's like something jumps out at you and slaps you in the face. That is God quickening the Word to you. So how do we hear from God? How do we get a word from God? We read the Bible until it bites us. Read it till it bites us. So God quickening, that means making it alive to us. That is called a rhema word. Now in the Greek, logos means written word. But when God quickens it to you, when He speaks it to you, then it's a rhema word, a spoken word. This is you getting a word from the Word. This is how we do it. So the more we're reading the Word, reading our Bibles, the more we will hear a word from God, which is awesome. The seed of the Word becomes implanted in your spirit, and then faith grows. And you become pregnant with the promise of God as faith grows. Amen. Last week in Tauranga, I said, turn to the person next to you and say, do you want to get pregnant? And then I realized how awkward that was. And I shouldn't really have said it quite that way, so I won't get you to say that today, especially if you don't know the person who's sitting next to you. Could be awkward right there. So your spirit becomes pregnant with the promise of God as faith grows. And I know I just lost half the women there with a pregnancy analogy, and you're like, no way, I'm not doing that again. I've done my bit to populate the universe. That day is over. It's okay. I'm talking about spiritual pregnancy. So just relax. No stretch marks. Even the men can do it. So spiritual. So sometimes this gestation of faith is actually longer than just 9 months. The Word God gives you is highly relevant and personal to you and your situation. It's a good idea to underline this word and write the date in your Bible. I do that. When God gives me a rhema word, when He speaks me through the Word, when it jumps out and bites me, I underline it and I put the date beside it and I write rhema, because I know that's a word God's spoken to me on that day. And I often write it down in my journal as well. And then you have in your journal a conversation between you and God of how He's been speaking to you, which is so awesome. You have a written record of it. Now, if you have never had a word from God like this and God's speaking to you, I challenge you, ask God for one this week. Because the more we're in this book, the more we will hear from God. Why not believe God for a word from the Word this week? Now, some things, when you're in a battle, you're praying, you're believing God, you're asking God for a word, He gives you one and it's answered, it's done. Other things are more major, they'll take days, weeks, even months before they arrive. And that is when you really need a word from God to stand on. You are going to need to believe it. You're going to need to pray it, prophesy it, and stand firm in faith over the weeks or months until it is fulfilled. Now, sometimes you'll even have something that takes years to fulfill. And this is like when you really need a word from God. And without a word from God, it is hard to sustain that kind of faith. We're talking marathon faith. We're talking long-haul faith. And it's actually a compliment to you if you get something like that God entrusts you to pray for something that's going to take years. That means God is saying to you, man, you're a warrior. You can do this. You can persevere. You can run marathons in the faith. You can do long-haul faith. It's a compliment. But without a word from God, it's hard to sustain that long-haul faith. So one word from God is all you need. One word from God will feed your faith. Yeah. One word from God. And some of you need a word from God right now because you're in a position where you really need one because of the difficult battle you are facing. You need to believe God in faith for a turnaround, a restoration, a provision, a job, a healing, a miracle. So let's look now at how to confront the enemy. Let's go to Exodus. Now, I've got several scriptures in the first part of Exodus. And I'm just going to talk a bit about the context. Exodus, the second book in the Bible. If you can't find it, there is something wrong with you. Just kidding. Exodus 3, verse 18. Now, this is the burning bush moment. This is when Moses heard God's words. He's getting a word from God. He's downloading it in the spirit. So the context, in Exodus, we see the people of God were enslaved. Their baby boys were being murdered by the government, thrown into the river. Now, they didn't kill the girls. I wonder why. I guess they had plans to abuse them later on. Things were bad. God wanted to intervene, so he did by giving a word to a man of God. He spoke his words to Moses at the burning bush, and the word was, go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. That was the word from God, let my people go. It's a word of freedom, it's a word of deliverance. Moses got this revelation, he got a word from God. Now we see five more times in the next few chapters, God telling Moses to get up early in the morning and go and confront Pharaoh with a word from God. Right. Here it is, Exodus 7, verse 15 and 16. So that's the next one. Go to Pharaoh, the Lord said, in the morning as he goes out to water, and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go. Then again, Exodus 8, verse 1. Then again, Exodus 8, verse 20. Then again, Exodus 9, verse 1. Then again, Exodus 9, verse 13. And then we see it again in Exodus 10, Moses doing it. And five times God told Moses to do this. And twice he used the word confront. Here it is in Exodus 8, 20. The Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning. It's a word for someone right there. And confront the enemy. Confront Pharaoh as he goes to water and say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go. So God is telling us to get up early in the morning and confront the enemy and tell the enemy what the Lord says. Tell the enemy the word of the Lord is, let my people go, or whatever the word is God has given to you. Now, all this time, this is during the first seven plagues, and all this through this time, the situation of God's people was yet unchanged. They were still enslaved. It didn't look like stuff was happening on the outside, yet God was working his plan. Now, God didn't just want to beat up on Egypt. He wanted to cut off their food supply, take out their whole army, and wipe them out as a world superpower, which is what they were, and they never have been again since. This wasn't just some slap on the wrist here. This was a full-on judgment for 400 years of abuse, enslavement, and murder of his people. This is the Lord saying, you throw my baby boys in the river, I'll throw your big boys in the Red Sea. This is the Lord teaching Pharaoh, don't mess with my people. You mess with my people, you mess with me. The Lord is teaching the enemy a lesson because Pharaoh is a picture of the devil. The Lord is not one to be trifled with. Whatever battle you are facing today, health, relational, financial, I believe God is going to show you to get a word from God for your situation. A word from God, a word from the word for your battle, specific to you, for you right now. Then, like Moses, you get up early in the morning and you confront the devil. And you tell him, devil, this is what the Lord says. Not just once. But you do it again and again, like Moses did, until the victory comes, until the enemy caves in, until the situation is changed for the glory of God. Tell the person next to you, confront the enemy. That's it. And we've got to persevere with this like Moses did. Because Moses got a word from God and confronted the enemy with it, not only was Moses set free, but all of the people of God were set free. The whole nation was set free. And guess what? The generations that followed lived in freedom. Because Moses got a word from God and he confronted the enemy with it. This is bigger than just about us. Your kids need you to run to this battle and confront the enemy and tell him what the Lord says. Your grandkids need you to run to this battle and confront the enemy and tell him what the Lord says. Their freedom depends on it. Their freedom of the kids and the grandkids, the spiritual and the natural, that flow from us depend on you getting freedom. depend on you not settling for circumstances of darkness, but speaking light and changing it and telling the devil what the Lord says. Because in Ephesians, here's my next big scripture, write this one down, Ephesians 6 verse 17. This talks about the armor of God and it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now the armor protects us. It's defensive. It defends us. All of the armor except for one piece. There's one piece that doesn't protect. It's offensive. And that is the sword. That is the word of God. It is our only offensive weapon and it's all we need. It is all we need. Too often we lay down and submit to our difficulty when God is wanting us to rise up and wield the sword of the Spirit and get not only the Logos word, the written word, but a Rhema word, a word for us in our situation. Man, if you have a word from God, it's strong enough to stand on. If you have a word from God, it anchors you. If you get a word from God, you can go to the bank on it. It's a firm foundation that you can rely on. It can sustain your spirit for the long haul. We, the people of God, are called to be His change agents on the earth. We are called by God to bring His change into this world. We are called by God to bring His kingdom to earth. Like Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are called to bring God's kingdom into our reality. We are not just called to accept the status quo. We are a people, a prophetic people who are out there in front, who, like God, call the things that are not as though they are. Write that down. That's another great scripture, Romans 4:17. Call the things that are not as though they are. We prophesy the word of God and it calls it into being. You know, right back in the beginning, in Genesis, when God created the earth, the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 verse 2 says the earth was formless and empty and darkness was over the face of the deep. Some versions say chaos was over the face of the deep. What did God do? When he saw all that darkness and emptiness and chaos, what did God do? Did he say, bummer, darkness, I'd really hoped for some light. Oh well, never mind. I guess I'll just have to live with it. No, he did something about it. He changed it. He spoke. He spoke his words. God's word brought change. Let there be light. And there was light. Yeah. The Lord did not settle for darkness. He spoke light. He didn't settle for the status quo. He exercised his spiritual authority by speaking his word and he brought change. Far too often, people, we settle for darkness instead of speaking the word of God, which brings light into that darkness. Don't submit to the conditions of darkness. Change them. Change them by speaking God's word into them. The word of God has huge creative power. We know that God brought all of creation about by his word. His words. He didn't create the heavens and the earth with hammers and nails. He spoke it. He said, let there be light, and there's power in his word. He spoke it, and it happened. He spoke it, and creative power was released, and stuff happened. The darkness was changed as light came and banished it. I'm going to read an excerpt right now from Dr. Yongyi Cho. Who's heard of him? Pastor of the biggest church in the world. I think it's still the biggest one, about 1 million members in Seoul, South Korea. And he said from his book, The Fourth Dimension, Discovering a New World of Answered Prayer, he was talking about this whole context, Genesis chapter 1. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep and chaos. And so he's looking at this, and God said to him, what's happening here? Has anything happened yet? And Dr. Cho said to the Lord, no, nothing's happened. And then God spoke to him and said, that's right, you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in your church, but nothing will happen. No soul will be saved. No broken home will be rejoined until you speak the word. Don't just beg and beg for what you need. Give the word. Let me have the material from which I can build miraculous happenings. As I did when creating the world, speak forth and say, let there be light or let there be land. And so Dr. Cho said, I learned one secret. Before you give the word, the Holy Spirit does not have the proper material with which to create. if the Holy Spirit imparts faith into your heart to remove a mountain, do not pray and beg for the mountain to be moved. Rather speak, be removed to the sea, and it shall come to pass. If you learn this and make a habit to speak under the Holy Spirit's anointing and speak in the faith God gives you, you are going to see many miracles in your life. It's all about getting a word and speaking the word from God. God's word still has creative power today. We must speak the word of God to our mountains that need to move. Speak the word to our circumstances that need to change. Prophesy the word into our battles. We firstly command things to shift in the spirit realm. Then we see it outworked in the natural realm. So don't be discouraged if it hasn't shifted yet. Stuff is happening in the spirit realm that you can't see. And you need to keep speaking it like Moses did. The Lord told him 5 times, go and confront the enemy. Go and tell him what the Lord says. We've got to keep at it. We've got to keep doing it. Do you know Jesus? He hardly ever prayed for people to be healed or raised from the dead or anything. He didn't pray for them. He spoke words. He spoke his words, and he is God. So he spoke the word of God. And he just said, be healed. God has given us his authority, Luke 10:19. I have given you authority over all the enemy's power. You will walk on snakes and scorpions. You will crush them under your feet, and nothing shall in any way do you harm. Luke 10:19. Let's look at that. I have given you authority. How much of the enemy's power has the Lord given us authority over? How much? All. I've given you authority over all the enemy's power, not just a little bit, not just on Sundays, not just to those who've been Christians all their lives, brought up in a Christian home, not just to those who are over 21, not just to those who've been to Bible college. I've given you authority over all the enemy's power. I love that. I heard Pastor Phil Pringle talking on a podcast the other day, and he was talking about this very thing. And he said, do you know what? When there's a battle going on in your life, who's in a battle right now? I feel like I'm always in a battle of some kind in the spiritual front. If I'm not battling for something in myself, it's in the family or it's someone at church. Pastor Phil said, when a battle is going on in your life, you don't need to be calling your mother to pray for you or your connect group leader to pray for you, or even your pastor to pray for you. You don't even need to be asking the Lord to stop it. You stop it. You confront the enemy. You have authority over all the enemy's power. You say, get off my health, devil. Get away from my family, Satan. Back off in Jesus' name, because you have authority against the devil. God has given you his authority. This word in the Greek, authority, is exousia. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not. I probably aren't. Exousia, which means judicial authority. The same authority a judge has or a police officer. The same authority that a police officer has in uniform to go out the middle of the road and stop traffic, talk to the hand. God has given that to you. In the spirit realm, it's his authority. You can stop the devil, and he has to obey you because of the cross, because of what Jesus did, and because God, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. That was a great commission. And now he says to us in Luke 10:19, I've given you authority over all the enemy's power. So we can stop the enemy, and he has to obey us. Again, James 4:7b, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee. So it is time for us to rise up and take our place in the army of God. It is time for us to grow up into the warrior he is training you to be. Men and women, no longer relying on others to fight our battles for us, but wielding the sword of the Spirit ourselves. This is a call to maturity today. To maturity. You are ready for this. We exercise his spiritual authority by speaking his word. We speak light into the darkness and we watch the darkness dispel. We watch the light invade the darkness. Do you know you have more spiritual authority and power than you realize? Some of you have no idea how powerful you really are. Tell the person next to you, you have no idea how powerful I really am. Now turn to your second choice and tell them. That's right. Do you know what? God is just looking for someone, anyone who will work with him. Will you be that person? It's easy to be a cynic. It's easy to be a critic. It's easy to be a naysayer. Yeah. What's a naysayer? That's someone who says nay a lot. Yeah. Like, sound like a horse. It's easy to be negative and unbelieving. Right. Anyone can do that. But to hold on to a word from God in faith, that takes tenacity. Some people are just like, well, I'm just too tired to believe God. I just want to have a rest. I just want to have a break. I'm a Kit Kat Christian. I just want to take a break. Do you know what? One day in your future, they're going to put you in a big, long, brown box, and you can have a big rest for as long as you like. But right now, we're alive. And we have some spiritual battles to fight here. And we have some spiritual battles to win here. We are talking about eternal issues. What else is more important? Do you have something else more pressing to do, perhaps? A Netflix series that you must watch? We are talking about confronting the devil to win souls here. A lot is at stake. We need to confront the enemy. Say it with me. I'm going to confront the enemy. I'm going to confront the enemy. Amen. You can trust God in His Word. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Do you know the Lord has sources, S-O-U-R-C-E-S, not tomato sauce, sources that we know nothing about. He can provide from places we don't know about. You know, Job talks about the storehouse of the ice and the wind and the snow. Well, I had no idea they were there till I read that in Job. We don't know what God's got stored up. We can trust Him to provide or to do what He said He would. If He has said it, He will do it, even if it takes years, because His time is not ours. Sometimes the outcome that happens is from God, but it wasn't what we expected. We can't dictate the outcome, but we can believe God to do it. He is a man of His word. Jesus will be faithful to do what He has said He would do. He will always honor His word. He will always fulfill what He promised. Now, for some of us here, God has spoken to you about things that are yet future. He has promised you an answer, a victory, a harvest in a certain area. That word has yet to be fulfilled. You have not seen the outcome yet. And you maybe can get discouraged at times. And discouragement can be followed by cynicism and unbelief. But I want to encourage you today, even when it's hard and the journey is long, keep believing God. Keep speaking out that word He has given you. Keep trusting God because it's going to happen. He wants to give you a word from the word so you have something to stand on in faith. Then you can pray it. Then you can prophesy it. Then you can believe it. Then you can thank Him in advance in faith that it is done, because His word has power. Like rain, it has an effect. It produces stuff. It produces life change. It produces fruit that will feed you and sustain you. The word of God will always accomplish what God sends it out to do. Write the scripture down. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. This is a good one about the word. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire. It will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. He's going to do it. If He gives you a word, it's not to tease you. It's to do it. So you pray it into being, so you get some faith in your spirit to sustain you, to keep believing it and prophesying it. God's word is real. It's alive. The Bible is not some fairy tale once upon a time. No. It yields good fruit. It's never powerless or void. It's never empty religious ritual. It's never a waste of time. It works. And it's time for us to ditch this victim mentality, to lose the self-pity, and to start to declare the word of the Lord over our lives. Oh, but I'm too scared to confront the devil. I'm not confrontational. Well, the Lord wants you to learn how to be confrontational in the spirit, not with people, with the devil. Tell the person next to you, I'm going to start to get confrontational. Woohoo! He wants you to be confrontational in the spirit, because we have accepted too much from the enemy for too long. And it is time we start standing our ground for the Lord. Just because the devil dishes up some dirt for you doesn't mean you have to eat it. Confront the enemy with the sword, with the word of God, with a word from the Lord. You say, devil, this is what the Lord says, just like Moses did to Pharaoh. And you keep saying it every morning. You get up early and you confront the devil with what the Lord says. Yeah. Devil, this is what the Lord says. Let my health go. Let my daughter go. Let my finances go in Jesus' name. You speak out that scripture, that word from God that God has given you in prayer. You can make it personal. You can put someone's name in it. For example, if one of your kids is away from God, you might get a word like Isaiah 54, verse 13. All of your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. So you put their name in it. And I always pick a name that I think no one has in the whole world, like Billy Bob, unless you're from Tennessee. So Billy Bob will be taught by the Lord, and great will be his peace. Another version says Billy Bob will be a disciple of the Lord. And great will be his wholeness. So you get a few different visions and you start speaking it out. And that creates a reality, a substance of faith inside of you. I'm not going to tell the whole story because I've told it before. But when we got our house, which was a miracle, 7 years ago almost, God had given me a word prior to that, about 6 or 7 years earlier than that, 2 Samuel 7 verse 10. And I wrote it out. It was a Rhema word. I put the date. And I underlined it, and I wrote it out in some cardboard, and I put it on a music stand in my room. And every day in my prayer time, I'd point to it, and I'd say it out loud. I'd prophesy it over at us, and I'd put our name in it. I will provide a place for my people, the Hoods. I just put that in there. And we'll plant them so that they can have a home of their own. And I said that every day. I prophesied it, believed it. And guess what? God did a massive miracle. And gave us a home of our own when we didn't even have a deposit. We didn't even have a duh. But it was a miracle. He can do things. The word that he gives you from the word will release faith into your spirit. We need this word. Otherwise, we will drift towards the negative. It's human nature. Oh, yes, we love the moan fest. We moan about our big mountains and our problems and our difficulties and our battles and our tragic situations. Tragedy. And then we have a big moan session and we have the audacity to call it a prayer time. And Lord, I've got an eviction notice in the mail today. I guess that must be what you want for me. I suppose this means you want me to be homeless and find a waterproof park bench to sleep under. I've got this official letter, so I guess it must be your will for my life. No! We don't have to settle for conditions of darkness. We don't have to live in the cold shadow of that big, ugly difficulty. Of sickness or lack of relationship problems. Just because you've been hit with some negative circumstances does not mean you have to accept them and lay down and die. We need to ditch this sarah, whatever will be, theology. We need to bury this fatalistic thinking. It is not from the Lord. It's from the culture that we live in. It's not from the Lord. If you're confused about what God's will is, don't be. Read the book. It's right here. It's blessing. It's healing. It's overcoming. It's victory. It's good stuff. There is too much passive Christianity around. And we've got to learn how to be spiritually aggressive. Not aggressive with people, spiritually aggressive. Aggressive with the enemy. Just one word from God will release power to change a situation. And when you get a word from God, you write it down, you underline it, you speak it. You pray it. You take it seriously. You acknowledge that God has just spoken to me. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to speak it out. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to pray it. And you do that. Pray it. Prophesy it. Speak it. Believe it. Over your hard, dry circumstance. And you see God bring change. You watch God bring transformation and life and fruitfulness in Jesus' name. One word from God can transform a dry spiritual landscape. We've got to hear God's word for our situation, believe it, stand on it, speak it out loud, pray it over our situation in faith. Thank you, God, you've already done it. I see it now. I thank you, you're faithful to your word. At the right time, you're fulfilling it, your promise to me. Hallelujah. We've got to get into agreement with what God's word says. We need to be careful who we're agreeing with here. Don't empower the enemy by getting into agreement with him. Bill Johnson says that when we agree with the enemy, we empower him. over our lives. It's like this. You don't say what your difficulty is. You say what God's word says. Don't say what your feelings say. Don't say what your circumstances say. Don't say what your workmates say. Say what God says in his word. When we speak the word of God out over our lives and our circumstances, we are speaking life into the spirit realm. As you drive to work, you're speaking out that word. You're prophesying over your life. A conviction in your spirit starts to rise up. You start to get the substance of faith on the inside of you that it talks about in Hebrews 11:1. You can see it now. Billy Bob is coming back to Jesus. It's just a matter of time. If the band could come, please. I'm going to finish with a true story. And you may have heard me share the story once before, a few years ago. In 1917, there was a young kid, and he was 8 years old in Kansas, USA. His name was Glenn. And he and his brother were going through the snow in January to school, and they tried, his older brother, Floyd, tried to light the little fire in the middle of the schoolroom, but he didn't know that someone put gasoline in the can instead of kerosene. And as he poured it in, some of the coals were still hot from the day before, and the whole thing exploded. And they were badly burned. Even so, they managed to run home through the snow for 2 miles. And they went to bed, and his older brother Floyd, who was 13, sadly died from his burns. And they said, the doctor said to Glenn, his legs are burned so badly, his toes have been burned off his left foot. He's lost all the flesh on his knees and shins. He may never walk normally again. His arch was practically destroyed in his foot. We think we should amputate his legs. And Glenn said, no. And he was so distressed, his parents would not let the doctors amputate his legs. Now, Glenn was a little boy who loved God. His whole family did. And Glenn, even though he was only 8 years old, got a word from God. And this word was his favorite scripture, Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. He stood on that word. He said to his mom, I'm going to walk again. He told it, and he kept saying it every day. I'm going to walk. He was very determined. He had a positive attitude. He believed God. He stood on that word. He got an old chair and he started pushing it around the kitchen, walking on it like this. He started going outside and walking along the fence line saying, I will walk, I will walk. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run, not be weary. They will walk and not faint. He even got the mule's tail and hung on to that and followed the mule around trying to walk. And even though their family moved a lot of times, he kept practicing walking. He worked hard. Only 2 years after the accident, he was walking. Do you know what? Glenn not only walked, he ran. And Glenn not only ran, he became the fastest runner in America. His name was Glenn Cunningham, and he represented the USA in the Olympics in 1932 and 1936 in the 1500 meters. He set the world record for the mile run and also for the 800 meters. In the ship going over to the Berlin Olympics, he was voted by his peers as the most popular athlete because of his amazing attitude and his love for everybody. And that guy went on. He became a doctor. He got married. He had 10 children, as he did back then. He became a motivational speaker, and he lived until he was almost 80. He's with the Lord now. That kid got a word from God, and nothing could stop him. Nothing could stop him. This problem you are facing right now could be a huge turning point in your life. This problem you are facing right now could become your greatest victory. This problem you're facing right now could become the greatest miracle you have ever seen yet in your life. Let's stand, shall we? You may be feeling low today, like you're only 2 inches off the ground spiritually, but don't settle for what you see around you. Don't give up in defeat. Challenge it. Confront the devil. This is what the Lord says, and speak out that word God has given you. Let's lift our hands right now. Father, I pray right now you would release, even this week, a word from the word to every person here. In Jesus' name, Lord, cause us to rise up. Cause us to be your mighty warriors who will not settle for what the devil dishes up, but we will stand and the authority you have given us, and speak out your word and lift up the sword of the word of God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.